We see how that yes go there after about 15 minutes. Just a little side note. I know it means nothing. I got these new glasses. Nobody noticed my new glasses. But I made a big mistake. See, I only need glasses. This is the sidebar. I need glasses for reading. I can see without a problem distance. And I said, no, I don't need. I used to have the bifocals. You know, I can do both. But I didn't with this pair. I just kicking myself because I'm constantly taking them on and off or going down here, reading like this or whatever, or talking. So if I do this, you know, Jan says, you look so uncool when you do that. So anyway, I didn't want to take it that far, but anyway, Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, just for the wonderful opportunity of sharing your word with your people. Oh, Lord, I pray that you just bless this message, Lord, for your glory, Lord. I pray, Lord, that there may be some nugget, some truth that might come out of this message for a brother or sister today, that they say, ah, that's just for me. I needed that. Lord, that you might just minister to them and they might honor you. Lord, I pray for that more than anything else. It's not about me or us. It's about you. So I pray that you might use this message for your glory. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. A woman had just experienced a very traumatic situation. And she described her nerve-wracking ordeal by saying, I felt like I was stuck in an elevator for several hours with a team of Jehovah's Witnesses. Got to think about that one for a moment. Life comes with ups and downs. Sometimes we have good days, sometimes we have bad days. But we're always looking for more. We're always hoping that somewhere around that corner, something greater is going to come for us. Our time is going to come or whatever. That success, whatever the case might be, we always want more, don't we? That seems to be a natural part of just living life. And think about yourselves and your lives when you were younger or whatever it is, all your goals and all your dreams that you had, you know, and how that worked out for you or how it inspired you to want more and more and more. When I was just a young guy, you know, my goal was I was going to go to Wisconsin State University in Whitewater and run track. And that was my goal. Well, then one night in the fall, I met this woman, this young girl, Jan, and there went my plans. Thanks, Jan. So there went my plans. But you know, see, I went from one thing, then I wanted something else. That's what we do. Then I want something else. Something of more interest comes along. So we were married, and wonderful, wonderful thing, but something was missing. And I didn't know what it was until Christ came into my life. And then when Jesus, now you can all identify with this as born-again Christians. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, is that all there is? No. That's just the beginning. The Spirit, I think, moves in us, and we want more and more and more of Jesus. That's we have a thirst for him, as the Bible says. So that's my first thought. I want us to look at, number one, is a thirst for Christ. And we're going to stay in John this morning. So let's look at John 7:37-39. On the last greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is the seventh day of the Festival of Tabernacles, which commemorated the days when the Jews, the Israelites, were wandering in the desert and lived in booths. During this time of the festival, Jesus' brothers weren't too comfortable with him. They weren't exactly, they had a hard time believing him, as well as the leaders, the religious leaders, despised him. But it was during this time that Jesus cried out in verse 37 and said, "If anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink." I love that. If anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. In promising the Holy Spirit, Jesus was claiming to be what? Claiming to be the Messiah. And, oh, this is so important, I think, for us to see and understand. Jesus, he talked about the living water. He quenches our thirst through the Holy Spirit. And he quenches our thirst in a variety of ways. And I want us to look at four ways, at least four ways, that Jesus Christ quenches our thirst. And the first one is when the truth of his salvation grips our hearts. You can identify with this, can't you? As born-again believer, remember when Jesus Christ, the truth of salvation, when you were saved, touched your heart. How did that make you feel? When the Spirit of God just grips you. And then number two, when Jesus' power controls your actions. Remember, you know, that happens to us today as we grow in our faith, that the Holy Spirit moves us and controls our character. Our thoughts are different, aren't they? Remember, before Christ and then after Christ, our thinking is different. Our values are different. That's a wonderful thing. And then number three is when Jesus' unconditional love energizes our passion for him. All of us can identify. All of us can identify with that. When we understand, like Paul, that Paul loved Jesus. Why? Because he understood that Jesus loved him first. We understand that we are bad. You know, we do dumb things. We say the wrong things. We get angry. We get this and that. And yet we know, according to the Bible tells us, God knows our thoughts. You know, the Bible says God knows the thoughts of man. He knows they are what? Futile. And yet he still loves us. That is grace. Am I in the way of the screen? That is grace. Pure grace. And then the last one. When Jesus' knowledge enlightens us. Isn't it wonderful that when you become a Christian, when people say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a born-again Christian, I'm really, but I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have, really? Really? You know? That doesn't make any sense. You know? That's like buying, you know, your Christmas morning or whatever. You remember the days, well, I remember, I'm going to praise God that. That's one thing, age is a good thing, because you have to put toys together and all of that. There you are at 12 o'clock at night, and Jan's got the instruction out there, and we're working together, and oh my goodness. You know, that's like putting something together, you know, without the instructions. You can't be a Christian and grow in your faith without the instruction. It all kind of goes together, and that's how we make our decisions. I kind of use this principle years ago when God called me out of the other denomination. I'm not going to mention it because it could be out there in the internet somewhere and some Presbyterian would come out, whoop, it just said the word, come out and get me. And I reached a point where, remember the cartoon Popeye? Okay, we all know Popeye, the red, okay, and you can almost, every time you saw a Popeye cartoon, you kind of knew how it was going to go. So Popeye reaches a point where he says, remember, that's all I can stand no more. So he takes the spinach and he pops it in his mouth, and suddenly he's all revved up and he's ready to take on Bluto, I think that was his name. That was me with that denomination. I'd reached a point, I said, God, I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand it anymore. And then I talked with a brother of mine, one of my mentor, my prayer partner, and I said, I need to get away. I need to get away and figure out what God wants me to do. I'm so fed up with this. You know, I've had, 14, 15 years of this. I'm done. I want to be done, but I want God's will to be done. So I arranged it, there was an old retreat up in West Iowa somewhere. I was the only person there I did a three-day fast. And incorporating all of these ingredients. And it was a wonderful, wonderful, because then God gave me my next call, my next orders. And I remember going back, I was so full of the Holy Spirit and knowing what God really wanted me to do, I felt released. I felt finally I was set free. And so I went to, at that time, you don't understand that Presbyterian structure is you have what you call an overseer or the presbyter, and he kind of governs his territory. And so I had to go to him and tell him what my intentions were. And remember, he's the one that told me, I was so full of the Holy Ghost, and he told me, he says, well, you know, Denny, he says, if you do that, if you leave us, then you are not under the umbrella of this denomination. You know, you have your insurance, you have this, you have that. You lose it all. It's gone. I looked at him and said, I know that. I really do, and I appreciate your concern for me, but God's called me out. He's called me someplace else. I said, I don't know where it is right now, but I have to move, and I'm going to just trust the Lord in this and move in with my mother-in-law, which we did for a while until we been praying, figuring out what God wanted us to do. You see what I'm saying? You know, it's thirsting for righteousness. It's thirsting for Christ in all that we do. And it's understanding that he is the eternal living water. He says, come, come. When you're thirsty, come to me. Come to me. I will refresh you. I will do all these things for you. Now, I want you to turn to the second one, the bread of life. And we're going to be looking at John 6, 35 through 39. Then Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall, listen to this, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. I love that last part. I shall lose none of those. For those of you we were concerned about, you know, as Assemblies of God, we believe, and I don't want to really get into this one, because this is another story for another time, that you can lose your salvation. So I asked, you know, coming from a different background from that, I wanted to know what theology, what was behind that theology. And so I went to one of the pastors at Calvary and talked to my mentor there, Pastor Ron. Pastor Ron's been around the block, not as long as I have, but he's been around the block a long time, and he's been Assemblies of God all the way. I said, Pastor, I said, Ron, what's going on with this? Tell me, explain to me what the theology is here. I said, I understand, but I want to understand your theology, our theology, my theology, because I am one of you, going to be one of you. And I want to make sure that I agree with all the doctrines here. And if we talked about that, and he said, oh, he said, don't worry about that. He said, basically we're talking about somebody to lose your salvation. It's got to be, it's so rare. He says, it's not even worth mentioning. I'm thinking to myself, really? You know? But I understood what he was saying. So what I'm saying to you is, you know, when Christ has a hold of you, if you look at Ephesians, it says we are sealed until the day of redemption. So some people worry about that. They worry about, I didn't go to church. Oh, I didn't pray, you know, last couple of days. I think maybe God doesn't love me anymore. Can I lose my salvation? No, that's not what it's talking about. See where I'm going with this? We are sealed. God loves us. Always will love us. I love that. I just, you know, I think of Jesus, I'm the bread of life. Golly. You know, when we think of bread, we think of food. We think of the choicest goodies. In my day, I was a ferocious eater of food. Jan can attest to that. Not just cinnamon rolls, but any kind of food. I was always the last one. It was amazing. They say, how can that be? You're so, I can't say skinny anymore. You're so whatever. But I could just eat and eat and eat. That's my potato. I can still do that today, but I don't eat as much because I can't. But anyway, the idea of food, how it, we need it just to survive. I mean, that's a natural thing, right? Amen? You know? Remember that? I think I told this story, but sometimes I repeat my stories. I apologize for that. Again, when I was just a young man and working for Jewel, I was an apprentice meat cutter, and I was young, and I was strong, and I was stupid. And every Friday, a buddy of mine, we'd go to this place that made the original Chicago hot dogs. I'm going to say something right now. This is a side note, a word of caution. We went to Omaha in April for a wedding. And my nephew said, oh, they got the greatest Chicago style hot dogs. We're going to have to go there. I said, really? I said, I'm there. So we went. What a disappointment. I hear a lot of people say, oh, this is the original Chicago style hot dog. I said, have you ever really had one? Do you know what they really are? They say, oh, it's Vienna hot dog. Oh, no. I said, it's not just the Vienna hot dogs, because a lot of people can say that. It's the ingredients that makes the difference. When you get an original Chicago style hot dog, oh, my goodness. The relishes they put on there, and then what they do, and many places have copied them, then they have a special hot dog bun. And this thing, it gets soft, but it doesn't crumble. You know how you get these hot dogs? Right, Chris, I get these crumbling hot dog buns now at the store. I think, whatever happened to the real hot dog bun? But anyway, I'm really digressing here, aren't I? But once you put it together and you put the pickle in there, and then you put the French fries on top, they put it right on top of the hot dog, they put them in the steamer, then they come out, they're all wrapped up. So you have the hot dog with all the goodies on it, and you have the French fries. This is not an exaggeration. I'd eat five of those for lunch. Five. I was stupid. I was young and stupid, but they were so good. I couldn't wait for Fridays to get my five hot dogs and my large Coke. That was my lunch. It was an amazing thing. Now, my buddy, I don't know, he was pretty much right there with me on those because we just really had a great time with them. But anyway, we know that food is, we need it to satisfy our appetites and to live and survive. But there's difference between eating food and gluttony. So we all know now the difference between, you know, between the two. However, only Jesus can satisfy and provide our spiritual nourishment today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Jesus said in verse 39, that he would not lose one person God sent to him. What an assurance. Our salvation is guaranteed. Our, well, I got For the most part, our salvation is guaranteed because it's God's promise. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are saved. Amen? Amen. That's what the Bible says. Once we are saved, we have to worry about it. So many people spend so much time thinking they've lost their salvation or they've done a bad thing and God's saying, bad, 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 you're never going to enter my kingdom. You know, Satan can use that. He really can, and drive people away from the faith or get them so messed up. Are you with me? I kind of lost myself a little bit on that one. Jesus, the bread of life, came down from heaven. Not only for the Jews, we know for us and for all who believe in him. Now, it is interesting to compare Jesus, the bread of life, to the manna God gave the Jews wandering in the desert. God gave the Jews the manna. The manna came pretty much when it was dark. Jesus Christ came when humanity was in darkness. Manna came as a supernatural act of God. Jesus Christ came as a supernatural act of God. Manna fell on the dew. Jesus came born of the Spirit. Manna came as God's gift to them. Jesus came as our gift, as God's gift to us. Amen? And listen to this. Manna came for a designated period of time, but Jesus came for all time. Amen? You stop and think about that. Manna came as food for their journey. Jesus came as spiritual food for our journey to heaven. Think about that. Isn't it a wonderful way when you stop and think about that? That Jesus is so... Oh, no wonder Paul got so revved up. No wonder the disciples, no wonder people, when God is so moving, isn't it interesting to see when we're praying, why is it sometimes when we worship, we're just there? I think today we were there, weren't we? I think all the way through, everybody, you could feel the vibe going through our little group here. We were there and we were worshiping, we were praising God, and you raise a hand, that's great, you clap, that's a wonderful thing. We're all there. We're all there. Jesus is the bread of life. Let us remember that. And for those of us that we've heard it many times, then let it sink in. Not just become something that you memorize, but live it, that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Number three, advancing the faith. We're getting out of John. We're going to move to Philippians here. Philippians 1. And in Philippians 1, Paul was spreading the gospel message. And he said, now, I have on the screen for you guys 20 through 25. I'm going to add, preview. I'm going to go back to 18, the latter part of 18, and then read through 25. Paul said, yes, and I continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. This time of year, we have graduations. Went to one yesterday. My two grandchildren graduated from high school and so forth. And I listened to the speech. They always have one of the students will give like the student speech for the class. And it's amazing. Things never change through the years. You know, I've been a part, you probably have been a part of many graduations, gone to many of them. I've been a keynote speaker at graduation. I've been on the doing other things in graduation up there on that stage. And then I listened to the one speaker, and so I go, oh, you know, the rise is out there and wonderful things, you know, we're gonna make a difference in the world. We hear all this and everything, and that's wonderful, isn't it? I'm not saying that's a wonderful thing. And the gal yesterday did a very good job, but you know, me being Mr. Critical, you know, and I am, I admit that, I just say, well, I don't know about that. You know, now here she is, she's a straight-A student at the highest honor in the class, and she's talking about, well, sometimes when we fail a test, I want to say, really? Have you really failed a test in school? You are a 4.0 plus. I said, don't tell me that. Some of the other kids say, yeah, I think and identify with that. I said, I don't think so. But anyway, when you go to the graduation, you hear and the kids are excited after the ceremony, and the kids are given their diploma, pictures are taken. It was crazy at Northern. Oh, they had over 800 kids graduating from high school. It was amazing to see that, and their expectation, their excitement. Now they're ready for the next jump. What's the next jump? Is they're jumping into the values of the world. Now they're jumping into no more sitting around. Now it's either, you know, college or whatever. You do your education, then your education, your job, your career, money, pleasure, all of those things, those purposes we start to chase. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'd be the last one. I believe in education. I believe you need to be the very best you can possibly be. I truly believe that. I believe you should encourage your kids to go to school. If they don't want to go to school, so then have them find a vocation, whatever it is, a trade that's good for them. I'm just saying, whatever you do, then do it to the best of your ability, right? Amen? To me, that is very natural. However, Paul, he put a different focus on this. He had a different purpose in mind. For Paul, his passion, his purpose for living was to proclaim and serve the living Christ. And then ultimately, to be with him, to see him face to face. That should be our goal. We are on a journey. One day we will see Jesus face to face. That's the ultimate goal. We're only here for a short period of time. Isn't it an amazing thing? When you stop and think about it, just going to graduation, I told Jan, I said, I can't believe we got two of them. Now, Britt's been out of school for 3 years. Now we got Jake and Leah. You know, we were talking about when they were just little kids, you know, and we're spoiling them rotten. You know, time goes so fast. I tell, you know, you parents with young kids, enjoy them. Enjoy the moments because, take it from experience, they grow fast. They grow up, and before you know it, you're going, whoa, where did it go? So Paul was saying, you know what? I'm here. I'd rather be with Jesus, but he's called me here. He's called me to spread the gospel. I will do that and praise God for that because I know that one day that I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be enjoying my glory with Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate goal. But society tells us to, even schools, Okay, now I go way back, and you know, we did play basketball back in my day, you know, and it wasn't you know, the high top black tennis shoes, whatever. We did play. I remember as a high school, here's what they used to tell the athletes: don't have a girlfriend. We didn't, basically back in my day, we did not have girls' sports. It was all the guys. I know, that is terrible, but it is. And but we used to tell the guys, don't have a girlfriend. Why? Because they're a distraction. So don't have girlfriends. Really? You're going to tell a bunch of teenage boys not to have a girlfriend? Well, some of us believe that. I did for about a year and a half. Then I caught on. So I'm convinced. So I caught on. I said, this is normal. You know, you can't be just, you got to have the girlfriend or whatever. See what I'm saying? But that's what we're told. We're told that. We're told to, you know, or we're told not to take your faith seriously. Now that's for today. How many people do you know, or maybe some people say to you, maybe a friend or somebody that knows you, hey, you're taking your faith too serious. You know, you're just too religious. You know, you gotta ease up. You know, that's the world today. That's even a large part of Christianity today, is don't get too religious. Don't. I've been accused of that. I remember when I was born again, before even seminary, I was a lay person. I was so fired up for Jesus, they asked me to help with junior high confirmation. And they said, you're too serious with the Lord. You're too serious. Well, they had a certain point. I had to learn to lighten up and find and give them Christ from where they were coming from. But anyway, that's another story. But that's what we're told. You know, as the society says. But my point is, we need to apply God's purpose, Paul's purpose for living, that goes beyond earthly values and gain. It's advancing the gospel. Friends, that's why we're here. That is why we are here. The big mistake many probably churches make is they say, that's for the pastor and his wife to advance the gospel. Where does it say that in the Word? Where does it say it? It doesn't. We are called. Paul was our example that we are called to go beyond this earthly personal gain and advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. One other thing, and we're going to close. Number four, following the true light. And I'm going to look at what Jesus said in John 12:46. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me shall stay in darkness. Read that again. I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me shall stay in the darkness. Remember last week he said, if you read the Gospel of John, he's always contrasting light and darkness. Light and darkness. Light and darkness. How many of you enjoy the sunset? How many of you enjoy the sunrise? Okay, Todd will say, hey, I'm there. We go to Green Lake every July with the family. The whole family's up there. And we rent this big house, can sleep about 20. And visualize this in this house. It's right off the lake itself. And you have in the living room / kitchen area, it's all open. You have windows, windows, windows. You get a view of the lake. It's gorgeous. And then in the second floor, there's like a, what'd you call that? A screened-in porch. You also have a view of the lake. And there's something wonderful about early in the morning. I wake up. I can smell the coffee from downstairs. Either one of my daughters that I'm making the coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I love the smell. So, and I go downstairs. I can see members of the family sitting, looking out those big windows and watching the sun as it hits that lake. It's a beautiful sight. And to see that as that sun comes up and see how that light just illuminates the beauty of that lake and the shorelines and what have you. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Jesus' presence is our light. Jesus' presence is our light. Jesus gives us his light so we can live fulfilled lives. He doesn't do it for himself for kicks. He doesn't need to do that. He's given us his light. He's here, I'm giving you my light. I'm giving you my illumination. I'm giving you my word. I'm giving you my truth. Just walk in it. Walk in it, and you will find the light. That light will guide you. That light will empower you. That light will embrace you. That light will love you. Warts and all, walk in my light. Walk in my light. Friends, there is so much more that Jesus wants us to see and experience. And he provides his ever-increasing revelation every day to make that happen. So I encourage us this morning to take advantage. Take advantage of every spiritual opportunity that God has given you and wants to give this church. Because once you experience Jesus and walk in his ways and see his light, you'll never turn back. Have you ever regretted your faith? Have you ever regretted knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Did you ever want to go back and say, I want to give up that life? I want to go back to the old life? No. No. As we grow in our faith, isn't it true? We want more and more and more and more of Jesus. That's the beauty of it. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 30 years or 40 years or 50. When you walk in Jesus' light, you want more and more and more of Jesus. I can tell you that for all you younger ones out there, look at me. Though not perfect, by no means, I can tell you as I stand here, I want more and more and more of Jesus. It never changes. Right, Kathy? It never changes. It's wonderful. Oh, God has so much for us. As Kathy comes up here, you know, and as we pray together, if you want more of Jesus' light, if you just want Jesus, and Mike, you want to come up too? If you want more of Jesus, if you just want, say, you know, Lord, I just need a fresh touch from you. I feel like I've been walking maybe too much in the darkness. I feel like I'm not walking with you the way I should. I want to get back to you. I want to get back and walk in the light. Maybe I need a refresher. Maybe I need someone just to pray for me. Maybe I just need that. Maybe I just need someone or prayer to kickstart my faith again. This is your moment. This is a Holy Spirit moment. Now, I just want to encourage us, and then I'm done, and we're going to, but, you know, we can come together, can't we? We can pray, we can sing, and you can wave our arms. That's a wonderful thing. We have nothing to be ashamed of or whatever. So what I'm saying, let the Holy Ghost just touch your heart, and don't be bashful. If you feel the nudge, you know, you want somebody to pray for you, then my brother and sister are here to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. You know, I think a motion would be in order to receive the last year's minutes without reading them, we can do that. Unless you really want me to try to dig them up somewhere. So a motion would be ordered to receive the last year's as... Is okay, there's been a motion, a second. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying yes. Opposed? It's carried. That is mega informal. If I were from the other denomination, they would have railed me right out on that one. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Now we'll have, which I've been waiting for, we'll have a financial report. Okay. Get this out here.